This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennz Oil Performance Line. Here's LeBron James about Eric Spoelstra, his former coach.
That's what fuels Spo, is the disrespect that you guys give him, the basketball world. But I'm not going to sit up here and act like I don't know what Spo is all about, because he's damn good, if not great. Probably is great, because it's preparation. He prepares like it's his last time ever coaching again every game. And I know that. That's why I feel good.
You know what that reminds me of? The preparation that LeBron's talking about. I'm going to make this about the Yankees. Watch this, Raj. And it's not even about the Yankees. It's about the Marlins. Marlins are in the playoffs. Remember how Jeter was killed in the press for clearing the decks of, you know, clearing the books of all the big contracts? And he should have held on to a couple of those guys. But the Giancarlo Stanton trade, he's been hurt since then. He cleared $300 million off the books. Anyway, he's brought in coaches and players that he feels approach things the right way. It seems to me like Jeter early on was less interested in talent than in approach, establishing the right culture, which for most people would be like, yeah. But for Jeter, I think about it differently. And what Jeter said was, what he tried to impress upon players was, from the first day of spring training, you don't give anything away. You approach every pitch, every play with the utmost seriousness and intensity. When people say, like, live in the moment, that's what he's talking about. And he says, so when the playoffs roll around, you've been doing this since the preseason. And remember, I always said Jeter was the kind of player that didn't get better under pressure. He just remained the same kind of guy. I thought Kobe was that way, too. I thought for a lot of his career, Tom Brady was that way. Brady actually eventually elevated under pressure. And I know people like Jeter and Kobe didn't elevate under pressure. They were the same guy. They were just always great. Some guys, like Don Mattingly, actually got better under pressure, I felt. And now Jeter, the former Yankees captain, hired Don Mattingly, former Yankees captain. Jeter's the owner of the Marlins, to be the manager of the Marlins. And here they are in the playoffs, barely over 500. It's a weird shortened season. I get it. You know, more teams. I get it. Yet here they are in the playoffs. And I once asked Don Mattingly when he was manager of the Dodgers, and I was doing ESPN Los Angeles radio with Marcellus. By the way, if you're listening on KSPN Los Angeles, I know I'm still on there. This show is on there right now. But I'm talking to the rest of the country, so calm down. So when I was exclusively on ESPN Los Angeles with Marcellus, we had Mattingly on as a guest because he was the Dodgers manager. And I said, you seem to elevate. He goes, well, you just keep the same approach like what Jeter said. I said, no. You seemed to get even better. Michael Jordan got even better under pressure. And that's impossible because he's already the best ever, right? How do you get even better than the best ever? Mariano Rivera, same thing. Best ever, got significantly better when it mattered most. Mattingly was an MVP. How did you get even better when it mattered most? And he said, there was a thoughtful response. I liked it. He said, well, if you know that that you approach it the same way all the time so you don't have a problem with it, you also could know that the other guy may not be like you. The other guy may be affected by the pressure. And if you keep your wits about you and stay calm, you can take advantage of that. So it's not really that you're better than you've ever been. It's that you're the same and you're exploiting the fact that the opponent is not. And that's how you can actually elevate over your normal levels, even if they're very high. I thought that was a really interesting answer. LeBron James is talking about Eric Spoelstra, just like Derek Jeter's talking about the Marlins. From the first pitch of spring training, from the very beginning with Spoelstra, from everything I know about him, I've spoken to Spoelstra, I've interviewed him. He's a boxing fan. He's a Pacquiao fan. He was, I guess I had access to him at a couple times where maybe I wouldn't have otherwise. And he, you could see that his level of intensity, he's a Riley disciple. you know, that from the, like, from the equivalent of the first pitch of spring training. As soon as you start workouts, right, this dude is on every detail. You approach it all the same way. So when crunch time rolls around, you can stay the same guy. But he's playing someone in LeBron who seems to have that Don Mattingly thing, where it's not, yes, he can approach it the same way, but he's aware that maybe the opponent doesn't. And that makes LeBron even better when it matters most. There's a line from Rudyard Kipling's great poem, If. If you can keep your head when, men around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, right? If you can keep your head while others are losing theirs, you're ahead of the game. Now here's the question. If that's what LeBron's doing, if he's able to stay the same and therefore exploit the fact that the other guy isn't, what do you do if the Heat team does remain the same? In other words, you can't exploit them the same way. You just have to be better than them. LeBron and AD, the best player in the world and a top five player, have an overwhelming advantage against a team like the Heat without even a single MVP candidate. Throughout the history of basketball, if the best player in the world has a top five player with them, they almost always win the championship. Not just get there, win it. Kareem and Magic got 5. Kobe and Shaq got 3. Kobe and Gasol. Gasol was certainly a top 10 player, maybe better than that, got 2. LeBron and Wade got 2. Jordan and Pippen got 6. You know, the championships are dominated by best player in the world plus top 5 player. 2 MVP caliber players at the very least. That ain't the Heat. So LeBron and AD, even if the Heat stay the same and the pressure doesn't affect them, LeBron and AD still have an advantage. The only time when a team like the Heat wins the championship is when they are special. Like the Detroit Pistons in 04 were arguably the greatest defensive team of any American team sport in history. The 72-73 Knicks, and the 69-70 Knicks for that matter, the Spurs that won the last one when Kawhi got MVP, when Duncan was in decline already. They had no MVP caliber player in the regular season. But the Spurs reminded people of those Knicks teams. Machines who played the right way. But like the best example ever of that kind of team. That kind of team can occasionally win a championship. Yep, even against Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West. But that sort of thing happens once every 10 years or so throughout NBA history. 10 to 15 years. Is that the Heat? News from Max Kellerman Nation. John in New Jersey just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, hey, Max. How's it going? So every series LeBron has been favored since 2011. He's won all those series. So I'm going to take the Lakers in 5. I think the Heat will put up a good fight. But the question I wanted to ask you was, next season, you're going to have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving coming back. Golden State's going to come back in full strength. I think the Lakers will return to the finals next season and win it all. What percentage do you give the Lakers next season to get to the finals?
That's a great question. First of all, I can't just assume KD is going to come back as 100% of himself. News from Max Kellerman Nation. John just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I think that if I were to assume KD comes back as 100% of himself, I'm really doing him a disservice. Why should we expect something that has almost never happened in the history of sports, ever, that a guy comes back from an Achilles as 100% of himself? It almost never happens. We just need to assume that about KD? Well, if we assume about KD, we're taking credit away if he can do it. Oh, yeah, we assumed he could do that. What? It's amazing if he can do that. Let's assume instead that KD comes back as 80% of himself. So still an all-star plus, but maybe not an MVP anymore. Kyrie is a superstar talent, but has not gotten superstar results. Not in terms of winning and, you know, the only time he's won a championship was with LeBron. But again, if you're an all-star, when do you not go to the finals with LeBron? So I don't know. The Nets will be there. I'm not sure the Nets will be quite as good as people think they'll be right away. the Warriors get Steph and Klay back, but there's no KD anymore. And it's not like Andrew Wiggins is some great player. He's a talent, but that's what he is, just a talent. Hasn't panned out to be an all-star caliber player. The Nuggets should get better, and they're already a lot. But you're right. I think if LeBron and AD stay healthy, especially with an additional year, people are like, oh, they got to do it now because LeBron's getting older. I actually think when you throw a team together, that first year, it may not go perfectly. You need another year to adjust because all the resources you had to put into getting an AD leaves the cabinets bare, right? And so they did a very good job of plugging in those holes, but usually you need about a year to see what's working, what's not working, you know, how you can tweak the roster, make it just right, get guys get used to each other, the coaching, the whole thing. And it's a new coach, by the way. But if the Lakers jump the gun and win one in their first season, yeah, we may be talking about a dynasty, at least a short dynasty. I wanted to talk about something else, and then Jake got right in my ear, and I forgot what I wanted to say. What the hell was I talking about there that I wanted to say something?
Up, Jake.
It was like a burning thing.
Well, Jake is trying to remind you have a nation, and the nation wanted to talk to you, so he was showing you sneak in one more caller before we do your week four power rankings.
I know, but there was something I wanted to say.
But you just want to hear your voice so much. And
yes.
It's tough.
Yes.
You got so much to say. I know.
Giuliano? Is that how you say it? Juliano? How do you say that name? Did someone just – Juliano?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, how you doing, Max?
Good. Juliano in Florida. Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I'm taking the Lakers in four. Yeah, I say in four because the Lakers are just way more experienced than the Heat. The Heat, they're good and all, but they're just underdogs. And Tyler Hero's a rookie. Duncan Robinson, last year he didn't play. The Lakers got championship experience, like, with a lot of players. Rondo, LeBron, Dwight, JaVale. While the Heat only have Iguodala.
I don't think that Iguodala is a good piece I haven't mentioned. I don't think that's what it's about, though. I think the Heat don't have an MVP caliber player, and the Lakers have two. And one of them is the best player in the world. The Heat have an uphill climb. If they win this series, it's not the greatest upset ever, but it is a historically noteworthy accomplishment. There'll be very few teams like these Heat, if they can pull this off. And the fact is, this season will be remembered differently. Like, seasons bleed and blend into each other in our memories. But this year, 2020, the bubble, we're always going to remember this year. The winner has a special place in American sports history. Be amazing for the Heat if they could pull this off, but that's because the odds are against it. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
No bias.
I really like football.
Just facts.
Don't get it crooked here, what I'm saying.
Max's NFL Power Rankings.
All right, Max. I think we've got a shakeup in the power rankings, man. Yeah. I got a feeling there's a shakeup. But let's start. Right. Last week, you had the Rams in Los Angeles. Of course, we're on KSPN Los Angeles. Shout out to you, everybody. The Rams were number five. Who do you have at number five this week?
Ready for this?
I'm ready.
New England Patriots. Yes, they have a loss. But that loss was the result of a fantastic goal line stand by the Seattle Seahawks, who most people have as a top three team. So by the skin of their teeth, they lose. Otherwise, they're 3-0 with a win against the Seahawks. But they lost, so they're not top three. But I think they do deserve to be top five. Keep in mind, Cam Newton, MVP, brought his team to the Super Bowl. I'll say it every time. In the middle of Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees' primes, his peers, NFL players, voted Cam the year he won MVP and took the Panthers to the Super Bowl, the best player in the world. The best. Better than all those guys. And they were right. Now, check this out. What were Cam's offensive weapons? He was his best. He was the best running back on the team, and his best receiver was a tight end, Greg Olsen. There was no dynamic offense. They did it with defense and Cam Newton. What are the Patriots going to do it with this year? The defense, and they've lost members off the defense, but they're still a top third defense. And Cam Newton, who's healthy, the only question. And he has more dynamic weapons than he did with the Panthers. Sony Michel's showing something. N'Keal Harry's starting to show something to go with Julian Edelman. And Bill Belichick's the coach. Patriots are live. Go ahead.
Okay. Number four last week, you had the Packers, but they've probably moved on up. Who you got number four this week?
The Baltimore Ravens, who you could have put number two, or a lot of people had them one. But remember what I told you last week? Mm-hmm. Chiefs are number one until someone proves me wrong. True. And the Ravens couldn't prove him wrong. But they don't drop out of the – just like the Patriots aren't eliminated from the top five because they lose to the Seahawks, the Ravens don't drop out just because they lose to the Chiefs. They'll beat most everyone else, right? So they were excellent until they faced Kansas City. But they looked discombobulated against Kansas City. It wasn't just Lamar Jackson. The offense did not seem to have any answers to the blitz. When they were blitzed, it's not just Lamar, and Greasy pointed it out during the telecast. He put it, his eyes were down, right? Looking down. He didn't keep his eyes down the field. But then again, it's not like running backs were, you know, going into hot reads, you know, hot routes, right? It wasn't like they were doing little things to offset the blitz or anyone was picking it up. They were just seeing the entire offense seem discombobulated. Still, it's an excellent coach, excellent quarterback, good defense. They should be in the thick of things.
Okay, fine. Number three team, your Seattle Seahawks, coming off a close win against the Cowboys. Who do you got number three this week?
The Seahawks. They stay right there. It was not a great win against the Cowboys, and the Seahawks' defense is leaky, especially against the pass. But listen, you want to know the simplest way to know who's going to be good? Quarterback coach. Mike Tomlin has Ben Roethlisberger. They're never going to be under 500, even when he doesn't. They're never under 500. Bill Belichick, whether he has Tom Brady or now Cam Newton, they're going to be really good. Aaron Rodgers can make a coach good, for sure. But so far, LaFleur looks good. But certainly, guys like Sean Payton and Drew Brees, right? Like, they're only going to be so bad. Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll are only going to be so bad. They're always going to be over, you know, in the thick of a playoff hunt, at least. And then when you have extra stuff, like a really good receiving core, Metcalf to go with Lockett, Carson running the ball, and a defense that can even stiffen up when it needs to with certain stars like Jamal Adams and the linebacker, who am I thinking of?
Bobby Wagner.
And Bobby Wagner. Yeah, they're number three.
All right, number two were the Ravens, but we saw them drop back to number four. That means we have a new number two, Max. Who is it? Tell America.
The NFC's answer to Patrick Mahomes, and that's Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. 13-3 with a playoff win against Seattle last year. And Rodgers, we couldn't tell if he was slipping or it was just his first year in a new system or both. Turns out it was just his first year in a new system. and now he knows, really understands what he's doing, and the handcuffs are off him a little bit. And even without Devontae Adams, Rodgers at his best was the best I'd ever seen until Mahomes. Looks like he's still at his best. Only now maybe he has a better coach suited for this new era of football. They're the second best team in the league. And, of course, the number one team is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Stealing my shine. That was my line.
The defending Super Bowl champions. Well, I heard 1 minute left, Raj, so I jumped the gun a little bit. Defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Why did I have them number one in the power rankings all year in spite of the fact that they look shaky? Well, the Chargers have a defense. If you like Justin Herbert as a young quarterback, then you can't just say, well, he's facing a young quarterback, because he's not facing him. The defense is, and Herbert looked good. But the bottom line is this. If you would have done power rankings last year's playoffs, the Kansas City Chiefs were down 10-plus points in the second half of every game. Just like this year, they don't look the most impressive. They just win. Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre had a baby. Patrick Mahomes. He's Aaron Rodgers, but even a little more electric like Favre was. He's Favre, but smarter and less mistake prone like Aaron Rodgers. He's the best I've ever seen. And he has weapons everywhere you look, and a great coach, Andy Reid. You have Mahomes and Andy Reid, you have Belichick and Newton. You have Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson. You have Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. It's a coach-quarterback league. Speaking of coach-quarterback combos, can Belichick find a way to slow down Mahomes and Reed? MLB is making moves today with a new playoff format. Make sure to check the wildcard series today on ESPN Radio when the Brewers take on the odds-on favorites to win the whole thing, the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the greatest franchise in the history of world sports, the New York Yankees, take on the lowly Cleveland. No, I shouldn't call them lowly Cleveland Indians. Ooh, I'm so happy about knocking Justin Bieber there around. Oh, Shane Bieber? Okay. Oh, was he riding high? And then what happened when he faced Murderers Row from the Bronx? Put up a 12 spot. Oh! Belichick and Cam versus Reed and Mahomes. Next, Max Kellerman Show.
Well, after watching the game tonight, I am scared what the Chiefs are going to do to us when we play them.
We got beat just about every way you can get beat.
How impressed were you by your defense tonight, slowing down Lamar Jackson?
Everybody was talking about how they were going to get ran on the whole game long, and they accepted that challenge.
Mahomes is just on a whole other level, and Mahomes is insane.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, anyone else notice this? I just saw in Scientific American, they tweeted it, mask wearing and social distancing for COVID-19 may have cut influenza cases south of the equator. Anyone else notice? I haven't, knock wood, I'm about to jinx myself, but I haven't gotten like as many colds over the last, 6 months since the shutdown. I don't think I've gotten any. My allergies are killing me, but I haven't gotten sick because, and usually I like clockwork every 8 weeks, 10 weeks or so, I got something, a throat jammy, something. Even if it doesn't have a fever. But all the mask wearing and the social distancing has kept me healthy. It works. All right. I'm going to get to this Bill Belichick sound. Hey, Raj, I have a question while I'm on the topic of non-sports stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, you can also weigh in, and maybe the callers can too, 888-SAY-ESPN. So I ordered Postmates yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And I ordered from a quasi-fast food place. And not unhealthy. And I'm seeing the little, the little thing on the app. It's coming toward me. And then it disappears. And it says it delivered it, which it didn't. So I, emailed them. Okay, I never got my food. So they refund the money. And I order from there again. And once again, it's coming toward me. And it disappears. So someone's running a scam, right? But since Postmates is refunding the money, and it's annoying as hell because, I'm not getting my food. I'm waiting an hour and a half. Right. But what is that scam? How is the person making, I don't get what they're getting from that.
It's no scam, but someone delivered donuts at my house the other day. And I know damn well I don't eat donuts. So, you see my body. You can't keep this gross figure eating donuts and things. So I just left it outside and waited for someone else to come. And sure enough, they came back and got their food. So they're delivering to an incorrect address, Max. I don't know how it's showing up on the map.
Max, did you call customer service?
There's no customer service at Postmates. Most annoying thing in the world.
Then they're keeping your tip and eating your food.
Well, no, there's no tip. You think I'm tipping when they haven't? The Postmates
don't
tip
you tip
afterwards.
Online? You tip initially.
You tip after you get your
food.
Well,
maybe that's why. Maybe you should start tipping people.
No, I do. Listen, not tip anybody. I tip well. I tip very well. The point is not that. Seamless, I did 1, 2, 3. I got this from the same place. I got the order 1, 2, 3. We should get Seamless to
I don't know, Jake. Jake, don't you order prior
advertising
to the food arriving?
I mean, of course. I'm a habitual food orderer, and you tip on the app usually. That's how it goes.
Yeah,
and I've been a part of that scam before. I think that they're eating your food and keeping your tip.
Yeah, but I'm saying I didn't tip until after I get the food. I don't tip. But they might be eating the food, but twice in a row, the same order?
These are some big boys delivering food.
They're saying it's this sucker ordering again.
I'm happy I'm feeding them if it's not costing me money, but I know I'm waiting to probably good for me to burn off a little fat while I'm waiting for that food. Here's Bill Belichick. His thoughts on the Chiefs offense improving with Mahomes in season 3.
Sure. Yeah, Andy continues to, expand his scheme. And, they've always had a pretty broad attack. They continue to have that. Certainly, Edwards has given them an explosive player in the backfield. And that's more than what they had last year. So that's why they drafted him. And he's delivered that for them, in the 3 games this year. But, yeah, they have they're very well coached. They have an excellent attack. They have a lot of good players. They're very experienced in their system. And they can do a lot of things, no question.
And he's talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a dynamic player, but Helaire has shown earlier in the season too, that week one, that you can play some clock control with Helaire. You know, it's not just that he's dynamic in the passing game and he's explosive. You can really control the pace of the game with him. The Chiefs got better. The only question is the defense. Is the Chiefs' defense, like 2 years ago, the defense was good enough. Last year was pretty good. And this year it looks maybe like good enough again, you know? That's the real question. I decide what the real question is. Jake in the Bronx, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Yo, what's up, man? I'm calling to let you know Miami's winning in six.
Okay. So in other words, you call up, your heartbeat's going faster. Oh, they're going to put me on the air. It's on TV. It's on the radio. And now I got my thing loaded, ready to go. And what you got is you're calling to tell me that Miami's winning in six. Not why, not some great hot take or some interesting thought or Max, you stink or Max, you're great or anything like that. Just the Heat are winning in six. Jake from the Bronx. Why? Okay, so you think the Heat are going to win in six. Great. Ali in New Jersey.
Well,
go ahead, Ali.
Yes, Khalif, Max.
What's up?
I said it's Khalif.
Khalif? Like with a K?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
Khalif. Well, yeah. I'm looking at my call screen where either Jake or Raj made one of their famous mess-ups. Was it you, Jake, or was it Raj?
It rhymes. It doesn't matter. Khalif, Ali, let's go.
Okay, Khalif. No, it's
no,
Khalif,
you can
he's saying.
Me up. Yeah, it's Khalif.
Gotcha.
Max, I was calling about how you always giving LeBron excuses for when they lose, like when Kyrie and Kevin Love got hurt. But the following year with the 73 team, Draymond Green got suspended, and that changed the whole course of the series.
No,
you don't make excuses about that.
Wait. Draymond just didn't get suspended. He's walking down the street one day. He got suspended. LeBron goaded him into that. LeBron kind of tripped him, and Draymond reacted to it. And LeBron was aware that Draymond had already had so many fouls, texts, that the next one is an automatic game suspension, and Draymond fell for it. That's being wily on the part of LeBron. And by the way, it's one thing to take a team six games and lose when your two best players are not playing other than you, Kyrie and Kevin Love, right? That's the whole team, LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love. He still took them six. It's another thing to say he needed a break in order to beat the winningest team in the history of basketball. It's a 73-win team. They won 73 games. And LeBron, on the road at Oracle, led them past the Golden State Warriors. So am I giving LeBron an excuse? No, I'm just analyzing. I'm not a LeBron stan. There are LeBron stans. I'm not one. What I say, I said back then, Steph's better than LeBron, the way the game is played now. Wrong. And I admit when I'm wrong. As soon as I know I'm wrong, I admit it. I said recently, Kawhi is better than LeBron. Wrong. I was just wrong about it. I because part of it is anticipation, given his age, injury, etc. But LeBron's defied all that. Although, I've been thinking about LeBron's legacy more and more today, in fact, because we talked about it on First Take, and as the days worn on, I've thought about it more and more. What is at stake for LeBron? What does a win do? What does a loss do? My first thought was, not much. You know, peak, he's not quite Jordan. Career, he's already past Kareem. So another championship doesn't make his peak higher than Jordan's, and if he loses, he's already past Kareem. He's already the career winner and the peak second place guy. Actually, I've evolved my thinking about that through the course of the day. I'm going to get to that coming up. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. So what does a win do to LeBron's legacy? What does a loss do? What is on the line in these finals for LeBron James? MLB is making moves today with a new playoff format. Make sure to check the Wild Card Series today on ESPN Radio. I'm so excited about this. Like, I wasn't even thinking it's best of three. Yankees already got one, and they got Tanaka in game two. Take one more win, and there's no game three. Oh, God, these Wild Card Series are so anxiety-inducing because the best team doesn't always win. Best of three can happen fast. So much drama in baseball right now. So check it out on ESPN Radio when the Brewers take on the odds-on favorites to win the World Championship, Los Angeles Dodgers, and the greatest franchise by far in the history of American team sports, world sports, the New York Yankees, take on the Cleveland Indians.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app at SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Ooh, that's a good cut, Jake. Nice job. What do you say? When we was eight, we went to bat day to see the Yanks. In 69, his father and mine, they robbed banks. Ghost killed it, as usual. That was a great verse. That whole story he told was amazing. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Heisman watch. Two SEC quarterbacks join Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields in the top five. Should I start 5-1 or should I go 1-5, Raj?
I like suspense.
At number five, out of Florida, Kyle Trask. At number four, out of Mississippi State, KJ Costello. Number three, out of Texas, Sam Ellinger. Number two, Ohio State's Justin Fields, which of course leaves Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson in the number one spot. Let me tell you something. I expected him to outperform Joe Burrow in the national title game last year. Boy, was I wrong. But Trevor Lawrence is going to be a fantastic pro quarterback, and I expect that he'll win the Heisman this year. Heisman Protections is brought to you by Allstate. Get better protected with Allstate. You've never been in better hands.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
So we asked today on First Take what a win or a loss would do to LeBron's legacy. What's on the line for LeBron's legacy in these finals? And my first thought, Stephen A. said like a loss would be devastating, and Kendrick Perkins said no, it'd be fine, whatever. And I thought a loss doesn't hurt him, but a win helps him. I've rethought it since this morning. The more I think about it, the more I think there's a lot on the line for LeBron either way. And here's what I mean. You know, there's, let me use an analogy like this. For matter to go at light speed is impossible. Only light can travel at light speed. If you try to make a material object travel at light speed, it takes more force, increasing force, to get it to travel faster as it approaches the speed of light. So like exponentially more force to get it even a little closer to the speed of light, but not at low speeds, at extremely high speeds, right? Once you get close, it takes much, much harder. It's diminishing returns, right? And in fact, to get it to actually go the speed of light would take like all the energy in the universe or something. So when you're talking about the stratosphere that LeBron is operating on, it's like that. It's like to get to be a great player is one thing. To get to be an all-time great is another. But as you approach Jordan, the speed of light, right, it gets impossibly difficult. The standards are incredibly high. So for the peak of any basketball player, LeBron is the standard bearer. For career, it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And what I thought originally is LeBron's peak's not quite Jordan's, so that ship has sailed. And his career is already better than Kareem's. So what does he have to win or lose here? I thought about it some more. Let's look at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Because I said by year 17, Kareem was still excellent, but not nearly the player that LeBron was at year 17. That's because Kareem played 4 years in college, or played three. So freshmen were ineligible back then at UCLA, anywhere. At UCLA, Kareem didn't play his first year. He started his next 3 years, right, that he was eligible. You know what UCLA went in those three seasons? 88-2. You know how many championships they won in those three seasons? Three. 3-3, 88-2. So LeBron, those 4 years, he was playing in the league already. Kareem went to 10 finals. This is LeBron's 10th final. Kareem won 6. LeBron could be sitting on 3, on half of Kareem, playing in the same number of finals. LeBron's peak better than Kareem's? I think so, but Kareem's peak was just about as high as it's ever gotten. I think LeBron needs to win these finals to sit next to Michael Jordan to be the number two overall, because he would then be, you could argue, the career greatest, and Jordan would be the peak greatest, and LeBron's peak is close enough to Jordan's that you go overall, you'd like to beat LeBron. But if he loses, would you take him over Kareem? The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. I will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Perfect.